Scripture this morning is taken from Psalms chapter number 3. In Psalms chapter number 3, in verse number 1, it says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. Be thou, O God, art a shield for me, my glory and my lifter, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, that hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessings is upon the people, Selah." I'll ask David, if you would, lead us in a word of prayer.
Praise you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace upon us, for allowing us, Lord, this opportunity, Lord, to look into your word. Lord, I pray that you touch Brother Adam to strengthen and encourage him. Lord, help him, Lord God, to expound upon that you've laid upon his heart. Lord, I pray that you give him a good memory of that he studied and prepared for us. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless him and his family. Lord, just continue to strengthen and encourage them. Lord, we're thankful for all that you're doing for our church. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless our pastor, strengthen, encourage him, continue to strengthen his voice. Lord, I pray that you do all these things, Lord, to bring honor and glory and praise to your name. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
We find in Psalms chapter 3 here another psalm that's written by David dealing with the trial when Absalom was trying to overthrow him from his kingdom. We see 8 or 10 psalms that David's written over the same trial that's taken place in his life. And I believe the Lord would have something for us, because needless to say, there's other places I'd rather be than just in the trials all the time. But that's where the Lord would have us. But we see some things in David's life I believe would be a help unto us. In verse number 1, David would start out, and we see the brokenness of David's heart by what he's having to face. David starts out with one word in the midst of the prayer to address everything and sums a lot of his feelings up. He just says, "Lord," starting out. We see the humbleness of his heart to start with. Every time David addresses him, he addresses him as Lord, that is in all caps. He is addressing him as somebody that is sovereign, as somebody that is divine in every decision that they've made in his life. But we also see, because of that, there's no strung out formalities before David gets to the meat of the prayer, but we see because of that, David's heart is broken and shattered because of what he's going through in his life. Verse 1, he begins to describe, there's different phases of every psalm. As we see David writes, his emotions seem to go from a low to a high time and time again in the trials that he faces, and this is no different. In verse 1, he says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah." Now you and I, when we enter into a valley or a trial that would seem like it was setting our world upside down, that would be the place that David's in here. And we begin to question God as to why he would see fit to turn our life around in the opposite direction of the direction we think it should go. And David's in that phase in the first two verses. David don't understand. David don't know why his world's been flipped. David don't know why God has allowed all of this to come into his life. But the trials come with a purpose. If you read about this and Absalom overtaking him, it's mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter number 15. It tells how Absalom's went underhandedly to everybody else to undercut David to get people on his side to turn against their king. But before that ever taken place, I believe it was 3 or 4 chapters before, it told about the sin of David, the adultery and the murder that took place. Because of that, this trial had to come into David's life. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying there's a purpose behind every trial that you and I would face. Whether it's because of sin, whether it's because of we've strayed from God and He's bringing us back, whether God's just wanting us to get closer to Him, God orchestrated the trial that David's having to face. God's never been caught off guard. God does never throw up His hands not knowing what to do, but God knew full well what was coming David's way. Another thing I found interesting, even though we see David broken in the first few verses, throughout the entirety of these 8 verses in the Psalm, David never tells God to take the trial out of his life. Instead, David says, Lord, help me. That's all he asks for, is the Lord's strength, the Lord's mercy and grace upon his life here. But we see it says that those that increase in trouble are against him, and many rise up against me. David said, it seems like everybody that I've had my faith in, everybody that I've been able to trust, everybody that I've relied on throughout my life, he said, have turned their back on me. Everything that David knew, his home, he had to leave. The temple of God he had to get away from, the place of prayer that he had was no longer available to him anymore. David said, my whole world's turned around. And if you look at the meat of the psalm here, David's saying, it's about God. Everything in it relates to God. David's hurting, but he's hurting because he can't get to God. He's hurting because he feels like he's lost his communication with the Lord. He's hurting because he feels like he's lost his prayer place. But David comes to a realization in this thing that God is there in the midst of the whole entirety of the trial. He's not been alone whatsoever in any part of it. In verse 2, he says, may there be many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for me, for him in God. The word help here carries the same sense as the word save in verse 7 and the word salvation in verse 8. It's kind of like when we would face a trial in our life and we would face opposition and it seemed like our world's upside down and the enemy of this world would come unto you and I and say, if you was really a child of God, you wouldn't be facing that. If you was really where you needed to be with God, you wouldn't have that valley in your life. But that's not the case. You know, if God would have never put this trial in David's life, it would have showed David that God really did not love him and God really did not care for him. Because the Word of God would let us know that God would chastise those that He loves. So the trials that you and I so often look at as our world's being flipped and there's no purpose behind it and we can't understand it, God's doing it because He loves us oftentimes. He's trying to bring us to a place that's closer unto Him to bring honor and glory to His name. I think about what's going on right now in the nation and the world that we live in. I've thought about the way the church is having to meet now. And I know a lot of people say, I believe God's putting in a final push to draw some. And I believe that could be the case. But I believe we took for granted too long of what God has blessed us with as churches. And He's showing us what we're missing. And that's the case in our lives a lot of times. I take for granted a lot of times what God does for me. But when He lowers me a couple notches by putting the valleys in my life, I begin to recognize Him for who He is. It's hard to worship in those spots, as David would mention later on, but He's worthy to be worshiped. He's got a purpose for everything that He puts inside of your heart and your life. The Lord's not forsaking you just because you're facing a trial, but instead He's trying to show you how good He really is to you. He goes on down and the tone begins to change. In verse number 3, he says, be thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of the holy hill, Selah. Now this is the second time that he said the word Selah. The first is after the first 2 verses. David's stopping, he's pausing, he's pondering on all the problems that's come into his life. He's pondering on why it's happening, what's going on, what all he's lost, what all he's had to walk away from because of Absalom coming in and overthrowing him, seeking to destroy his life and take over the kingdom. But in verse number 3 and 4, David's beginning to ponder on how good God is to him in the midst of that valley. As I said before, you can read in the next chapter right here in 4, and you can see that God has still got the trial in David's life. He's still talking about the valley that he's going through, that he's talking about in 3. There's psalms spread out all throughout. I believe it's, I think it's 9 or 10 if I'm thinking right. That God has still got this trial in David's life. The outlook of David is changing even though the circumstances he's in is not. I want to tell you, things may not ever change in our life for good like we want. But the way that we view our problems and the way that we can worship God can bring us closer to Him than we've ever been before. We've got to be careful about the way that we handle our situations. But he says in verse 3 that thou art a shield for me. He's saying, even though I feel like I'm being overthrown, even though I feel like my world's been turned upside down, even though it feels like I've lost everything that I've worked for in my life, he's saying, God's the one taking the blunt of everything that's going on. That's what a shield is. If you were standing outside and I picked up a bunch of rocks and started throwing it, you would get behind a tree, and what would happen? You wouldn't get hit, but that tree would. That would be the shield for you. Even though David feels like this whole world's coming against him at this point in his life, God's still taking the blunt of everything. He said, God's still issuing mercy and grace unto me, even in the midst of this valley. A valley of His own making, no less. It don't matter how the valleys come about, but we've got a God that can extend that mercy and grace to you and I. He says, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. You know what he's saying in those? He's my purpose for going on. This life is not about us. It's not about what all I can accomplish. It's not about how good I feel about myself. It's not about how people view me. But it's about God and what He's doing in our life. And that's where David's at right here. He says, He's my glory and He's the lifter of my head. David's saying, there's no point in me going on, but God has made provisions for me in the midst of this valley. Oftentimes we enter the valleys and it seems like, and David's probably one of the darkest that he's faced when his whole world's turned upside down. But he's saying, God's given me a purpose to keep going on. It may not have felt like it in the first 2 verses, but David said, I've got a purpose, and that's to keep serving Him, to keep going on, to keep bringing honor and glory unto His name. In verse 4, he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. You know how when you get into the valleys of life, a lot of times you seem to call upon God and it seems like there's a wall there. Seems like you can't get a hold of Him. It seems like there's no response. It seems like you're 1,000 miles away from God. David right here, no denying that that's what he felt like in the first verses. But David still yet cries out. You know what he said in verse number 4? He said, even though I'm not in my prayer place, even though I'm not in the temple, even though I'm not where God is at, he said, God has still heard me and still answered my prayer. He's heard my cry. And the times it feels like God's forsaken us, I want to tell you, it's just the problems that we're facing. God's never left us. He's never turned His back on us. He's never been caught off guard by anything. God's still there, working in the midst of everything that we face. David's sitting and he's pondering on this. I believe the more that David begins to think about how good God's been and the actual purpose of his life, that he begins to rejoice in the Lord. We see that in the next few verses. Verse 5, he says, I lay me down and slept. I wait for the Lord to sustain me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. You know what he's saying here? He said, I've got peace. That's why he's able to sleep. He said, the Lord sustained me. Sustained means He supplied every need. But he says, the Lord, again in verse number 5. He said, it's a sovereign God that's handling my problems. He's saying, it ain't me. It ain't nothing I've done. It ain't nothing that I've accomplished. He said, but God has seen fit to work in the midst of the trial. David couldn't see it at the start of it. But David's going to see it at the end of it, how God's brought him through. We see he talks about that stuff in verse number 7 and 8. Stuff's in the past tense. It ain't because this trial's past and then David's writing a psalm. But it's because David's looking back and he said, Lord, You've been there in times past. I've been in this position before when Saul was seeking out my life. And he said, you've overcome before and you'll do it again for me. Our Lord has never forsaken us. David, seeing that, he said in verse number 6, he said, 10,000 of people against me. He said, it seems like this whole world's come against me. He said, but God, you're still there making provisions for me. I'll tell you, it don't matter what I face in this life. Don't matter what you face. Whether it's because of sin and the trials like David's facing. Whether it's something that just caught you off guard. Whether it's a valley that the Lord just put there in order for us to get closer unto Him. God will be there every step of the way. I want to tell you, there's a lot of heartbreak in the midst of valleys. A lot of it. You go through them, you know what I'm talking about. David, he's broken. Every psalm that you read that applies to this area of David's life when it comes to Absalom, he's broken before God. Really don't know what to do. David's at the point, he's ready to throw up his hands. God, why? Why did this happen? Why is this taking place? Lord, I thought I was back where I needed to be with you. But still yet, God had to show him, David, I love you, through the trial that he's facing. You know, David had already got the sin taken care of. You read in Psalms, he's already asked God's forgiveness. You read in the Psalms, he's already been restored back in favor with God, able to worship God. But still yet, in the midst of David being right where God would have him to be, out of nowhere, David gets hit with the valley. I want to tell you, the valleys of life are where we grow. It's not so much where we get to worship like we're on the mountaintop. It's not so much where everybody sees what's going on, you're bragging on God all the time. But it's the spots where we get close to God. And we've got to nestle up to Him. David talks about in other psalms that apply to this as God as being his wings. Something that hides him from everything that's around him. It may feel like this world is throwing stuff at us sometimes in the midst of the valleys. But God hides us. He's our protector. He's still our Lord. Even though it seems like we can't get through sometimes, He's still hearing and answering prayers inside of our heart and life. David started out broken before God, but he still knew He's a sovereign God. We've got to understand that as a church. Even though our world turns upside down sometimes, He's still sovereign in what He's doing. He still knows what He's doing. He's still in control of every situation that I may face in my life. I just got to keep bringing honor and glory unto Him. Make it like David did. It's about God. It's not about me. It's not about what I can do, but it's about God. That's where we failed as churches. That's why we face a lot of things, because we forgot that everything is about God. That's why we struggle in the valleys, because we try to make it about us. But it's about God. We've lost our focus today, church. We've belittled the things of God and put it all on us. What we can do, what we can accomplish, what we can handle on our own. But He's there every step of the way if we would so turn unto Him. Pastor, it's yours.
I appreciate that, Adam. I thank the Lord for the truth of God's Word.